The Cerrado is the second largest biome in Latin America and the most diverse savanna in the world. Yet, it has lost half of its native vegetation to agriculture, and the pace of conversion is accelerating. Urgent action is needed to balance production with protection in a way that delivers gains for the climate, nature, and people, a new report commissioned by the World Economic Forum finds. My name is Gustavo Ribeiro, editor-in-chief of the Brazilian Report. This is Explaining Brazil. If you like Explaining Brazil, you should subscribe to the Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We are an independent organization funded by subscribers, so you can help us stay independent and continue to produce award-winning journalism. And if you are already a subscriber, you can go that extra mile and join our Buy Me a Coffee fan page. In return, you will get exclusive perks like special newsletters and behind-the-scenes content, as well as a shout-out here in our podcast. Today, I'd like to thank our Buy Me a Coffee members, Jaciada de Oliveira, Carson Allen, Gabriel Luca, Andrei Novozeltsev, Pan Ludwig, Leslie Seal, Mark Hillary, Luis Hans, Erwin Menez, Aaron Berger, Kars Vresvik, Alasdair Townsend, Miller Renascido, Peter Abrahamson, David Dixon, José José Stankovic, Emerging Market Muser, Anna Lund, Peter Suffering, Anderson da Silva, and someone who chose to remain anonymous. And our Buy Me a Coffee members come from all over the world, so please, if we are butchering the pronunciation of your name, do send us an email. And if you too believe in the importance of independent journalism and want to hear your name on our podcast, go to buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report and subscribe to one of the membership tiers. Click on buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report to learn more. For most of 2023, the Brazilian government boasted stellar deforestation reversal numbers for the Amazon. The rate of destruction of the rainforest was cut in half last year as the Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva administration worked to restore the country's ability to enforce environmental laws. But the results for other biomes were much less glowing, and that was especially true for the Cerrado Savanna, which became the country's deforestation hotspot. In 2023, deforestation in the biome increased by 43%. In January of this year, however, the deforestation figures for the Cerrado were much more encouraging than in previous months, dropping 48% from December, according to data released Thursday by the Amazon Environmental Research Institute, an environmental NGO. But optimism should be taken with a grain of salt. The figure was the lowest in the last 11 months, granted, but still 10% higher than in January 2023. A new report commissioned by the World Economic Forum, entitled The Cerrado, Production and Protection, urges action to safeguard the natural capital of this critical biome while contributing to support economic development. Felipe Faria is the director for Brazil at Systemic, an environmental consultancy, and led the development of the Cerrado report, and he joins us this week. Felipe, thanks for joining us. Before we talk about what needs to be done for the Cerrado, I'd like to ask you about what has already been done to the biome. I mean, can you explain to listeners who may not be fully aware of the biome what the Cerrado is, and what its current state is?
Yes, Gustavo. So the Cerrado is the largest tropical savanna and most biodiverse savanna in the world. It comprehends an area of 200 million hectares in Brazil, in the center of Brazil, covering states like Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, Tocantins, Maranhão, and Bahia.
No, and we talk a lot about the Amazon being a carbon sink, but The Cerrado is another important one, right?
Sure thing. So, like I said, we say that the Cerrado is the most biodiverse savanna in the world because there are different types of forest, shrubs, and pasture lands. The Cerrado will have a great variety of different types of physiognomies, like we said in the scientific language, in terms of how to classify these different species that will be together in the same place. So the savanna will cover exactly grasslands, but also forests and the transition between the Amazon and the Cerrado. Nowadays, we lost almost 50% of the native vegetation from the Cerrado because the Cerrado become this agricultural hotspot where we produce most part of the commodities in Brazil and also export these commodities to the world.
And Felipe, how critical is the Cerrado to Brazil's economy and to global food security?
The Cerrado, for example, is supplying most of the soy in the world. It's a world bread basket, right? And like I was saying, the Cerrado now is supplying 22% of the global soy production, 23% of the sugar cane global production, 5% of the corn, and 6% of the cattle herd that will be used for beef production. So basically, the Cerrado is a global hotspot in terms of the production of commodities, which is in the same time creating a pressure for conversion and expansion of the agriculture.
And in terms of long-term risks to the biome, with the Amazon, we always mention the tipping point after which the rainforest would transition into a savanna. But the Cerrado is already a savanna, so what would the long-term outlook for the biome be if current levels of destruction are to continue? I mean, is there any such tipping point studies for the Cerrado? And if so, what would the savanna be transformed into?
Unfortunately, the amount of research that we have in the Cerrado compared to the Amazon is very low. Right. So there is a need of much more scientific research to really understand the tipping points, the relationship between conversion and production and the services, the ecosystem services that the Cerrado is supplying to Brazil for the industry, for the population, such as energy, water, and food. But when we look to the numbers in terms, what is the impact that climate change conversion could bring the Cerrado? The studies that we have seen is that can bring a risk to Brazil is exactly the related to water security. This is the first issue where you can see that area, the water surface in many basins are reducing. But also what we observe from some scientific research is exactly that the conditions, the reasonable and appropriate conditions for agriculture could be changing, such that we are putting in risk also not only the habitat, the biome per se, but also our capacity to produce at ideal climatic conditions.
But in what sense? I mean, what are the main risks for agriculture?
I believe that it's exactly the change of the number, for example, of raining days, the season of the raining season. And last season, in the last semester of 2023, we had an example of how climatic conditions will affect agricultural production. We had the rain in the Cerrado delayed and didn't start in the typical month. And the impact of that, especially in the Mato Grosso state, was a reduction of 1.9% of the soy production compared to the year before.
And we covered the effects of climate change on farmers' economic situation a few episodes ago. The episode is called Is Brazil an Agro in Crisis? And you can look for it on our website or on our podcast feed. Now, Felipe, conservation rules for farmers are far more permissive in the Cerrado than in the Amazon. I mean, in the rainforest, landowners must conserve 80% of their property, but that requirement drops to 25 to 35% in the savanna. What's the explanation for this disparity? And is there any political will to change these regulations?
Yes. Basically, this explanation from the government is associated with the Brazilian Forest Code. So you are right that in the Amazon, every property needs to conserve more than around 80% of a forest within each property. But this situation is very different compared to the Cerrado, where this percentage is between 20 and 35%. So what do we have? We are observing in the Cerrado is that most of the deforestation is still illegal. So we need for sure to reduce, increase command and control and reduce deforestation, illegal deforestation for almost zero. But we also had the problem of the legal deforestation, which is also increasing in the Cerrado. And for the legal deforestation, we understand that it will be very difficult to have the political support to change the forest code in a way that we can increase the percentage of protection for the Cerrado. We don't believe that at least in the short term, we'll have political support for that. However, what we are proposing in the Cerrado white paper that we issue together with the World Economic Forum and the Tropical Forest Alliance is that we need to create incentives for the producer to keep the forest, and the biome, not only the forest, the biome, the native vegetation, in the case of Cerrado, protected. And for those measures include some policies in terms of traceability, exclusion, prioritization of sourcing through the trader, through the meat packers, in terms of give better conditions for the producers, which are protecting larger areas in comparison to the forest code. But we also need to include financial incentives, payment for environmental services, these special discounts, special credit lines for producers that are protecting the native vegetation.
So you touched on something that I was meaning to ask you. Many say that moves toward more sustainable practices are too pricey. And by what you said, I assume you believe this is a fair argument to be had.
I believe that we have two types of problems. One is the agriculture that we can be improved in terms of have better systems that produce more with more diversification, higher resilience. This is one problem. And the second problem is exactly how we value standing native vegetation. In terms of improving agriculture, what we can see is that we have financial feasibility to make this transformation. And in the report, we outline at least three strategies. First, the integration of livestock, forestry, and agriculture, which is something that is already happening in Brazil. And what it means? It means that we are not producing only soy, for example, in one piece of land. We are producing soy, we are producing beef, we are producing timber in the same area. And this is a movement that a good part of the landowners who have access to capital, who have access to the market and have access to technical assistance are already doing this movement because it's more profitable. The second movement, the strategy that we outline is exactly go from extensive pasture land to semi-intensive pasture land, right? And increase the productivity of the beef production. it's possible to increase at least by 100% the productivity, the amount of meat per hectare that we are producing, and in the same time reduce greenhouse gas emissions per kilo of meat that we produce by around 50%. So this is a movement that can, where we can produce more land in the more beef in the same area, and we have the chance to spare land for other uses. And finally, agroforestry systems are a model that, again, also needs the three enabling conditions that I told you for the integrated livestock, agriculture and forestry, technical assistance, access to market and credit, but more focus on small properties, because agroforestry systems nowadays, we have some constraints in terms of the area that is possible to manage a system like that because of the mechanization that is still low, and also labor constraints. So we still have something to advance in terms how we make these agroforestry systems more feasible for larger areas, which is not the case nowadays.
So you're arguing that doing the right thing is good business, right? So why is it so hard to change the minds of many farmers?
When we are assessing any value chain and how to transform value chains in the agricultural sector, you need those three pillars. You need credit, because usually you have a long payback in terms of when you do the transformation. You need some investments, and to recover the investments, these can take 4 to 8 years. So we need credit, availability of credit. And this is a big constraint in Brazil. For example, smallholders, for example, in the Amazon, less than like 5% of smallholders have access to credit. And this is for sure a constraint, especially for smallholders. Second, technical assistance. So there is a big cost for producers to transform. Agriculture is a very complex field. There are many risks, and often the producer has a low risk tolerance for these transformations. So the producer really needs to be certain about that. And for that, we need to have demonstration units. The producer needs to have access to technical assistance, which is also a big constraint in Brazil if you don't have access to capital. And finally, access to markets, right? We were talking about agroforestries. In agroforestry systems, you start to produce manioc, banana, beans, acai, cocoa, and other crops. And you need to be able to sell all these productions. And in many regions, the market access is not something established. You don't still have all the necessary logistics and buyers to be able to convince the producer that he'll be able to really sell all those types of production. And we need to remember that if you are used to do only one crop, do many different crops in the same time is a challenge. We need to remember that each species will have a specific way of treat the plant, the pruning, the harvest season, the inputs that you need to implement will be different depending on the plant. And this brings a high level of complexity, and the producer needs to be comfortable with that. So that's why it's so hard. And it is, you are right. It's very difficult to transform agricultural landscapes. But when we do, it's very fast. When we see that something for producers, that something makes sense for them, what you can see is that this transformation is fast. And we can see the Cerrado is a big example of that, how the soy transformed in only 20 years entire landscapes.
So in this recent report entitled The Cerrado Production and Protection, you guys mentioned the need for stricter regulation to lower rates of land conversion from vegetation to agriculture and pastures. Now, do you think that the EU's recent anti-deforestation regulation will be a catalyst for us? Because the EU is an important market for Brazil and a lot of the commodities that we export are concerned by the EUDR.
Yeah, it's important, but it's still a minor off-taker. It's an important because usually we have price premiums related to the EU. The market conditions could be better in comparison to other markets, but the proportion is still low. I really believe that on those moments, we have two options. We can complain and try to postpone the impact of those type of regulations, or we can be pioneers, understand the regulation and use these as an opportunity to grab a larger market. And I'll give you another example that really shows how those transformations can impact markets. Few decades ago, the EU changed all the sanitary conditions for imports of Brazil nuts. Brazil used to be the larger producer of Brazil nuts by far. At that moment, Brazil didn't adapt to the new sanitary conditions that EU imposed, and Bolivia adapted. What happened as a consequence is that Brazil lost all the international market, not all, but almost all the international market and related to the export of Brazil nuts. And Bolivia assumed this role because they were able to structure themselves and be compliant with the regulation. In the case of the EUDR for the Cerrado, we are still trying to understand the impact because the Cerrado is not considered a forest by the FAO, which is the baseline for the EUDR, and in theory would not be exposed to the EUDR as far as the regulation is designed now. However, the rationale that I give, that I explained to you, I believe it's the same. We really need to understand where the market is going, what the consumers are asking in terms of the characteristics of the production, and try to adapt and try to be a pioneer and try to look to these new regulations as an opportunities, move fast, understand, and possibly have a market that is higher, not lower, and more constrained.
Now, Felipe, if we take a brief look at another of Brazil's biomes, the Pantanal wetlands, for instance, one solution found there was the expansion and investment in ecotourism. Is that something you could also be looked at for the Cerrado? What kinds of tourism opportunities are there in the biome for someone, say, visiting from the US or Europe, for example?
In the report, we outline that the tourism ecotourism could be one of the sectors that could mobilize resources. I believe that the Cerrado is a place that has many attractions. If you had the chance to visit Chapada dos Veadeiros, Chapada dos Guimarães, Jalapão, and many other places, it's really a beautiful place to visit, to be there. In the same time, it's a place that don't have a lot of infrastructure. For example, if you fly from an international place, from Europe or from the United States, you need to fly to São Paulo, then fly to Brasília or Cuiabá, and to go to the Cerrado. So it's not an easy place for foreigners to visit, and also the infrastructure is not there. There are some movements. For example, Chapada dos Veadeiros was recently conceded to the private sector. So there is a possibility with more infrastructure, these will attract new visitors. Therefore, I believe that is an opportunity, but it will not solve all the problems. We need to remember that the Cerrado has 200 million hectares. It's a continent. So we need to have a menu, a portfolio of options that could drive protection in the Cerrado. What I believe that the ecotourism has a very important role is regarding awareness, right? Because when you visit, you start to have a much deeper relationship with the place that you visited. And I believe that this is important for Brazilians to know their country, to know better the Cerrado, the Amazon, because by doing so, I believe that the speech, the statements, the rationale for protection is much easier to be conveyed and to gather political support for a higher protection, for example.
You can also call for a new agricultural model in the biome as a way to increase conservation while also boosting economic growth. So tell us a little bit more about the current agricultural model in the Cerrado and in what ways you suggest it be changed.
This report had as one of the objectives to raise the Cerrado profile, especially for international audiences, right? People don't know the Cerrado, especially when we compare to the Amazon, for obvious reasons, because of the media attention that the Amazon has been receiving, because of the climate change impacts that we have been observing, like the dry of the Negro River last year, the fires that we have been observing, and its increase in frequency. So therefore, the objective is to show that Brazil has not only the problem of protecting the Amazon, but also the Cerrado. Therefore, we expect to mobilize the attention and also create more bridges between the protection side and the protection conservation side, because we need those two, let's say, in many ways, polarized worlds to start to have more conversations about it, because the production side is dependent and will be more dependent from the conservation of the native vegetation to provide ecosystem services that are necessary not only for the agricultural sector, but for all of us that live in Brazil. The Cerrado is the Brazilian water tank. Many of the important hydropower plants that supply electricity for us are using water from the Cerrado. The water from the Cerrado is also critical for water supply for many cities. And the food that is produced in Cerrado is fundamental for Brazilians, but also for the world. The Cerrado has also the possibility to become a solution for the world in terms of providing sustainable feedstocks, sustainable power to Brazil, to the industry, but also, for example, sustainable aviation fuels for the entire world. Not the entire world because the supply is big, but help the sector to make the transition.
So, Felipe, what's the next step? This report has managed to grab the attention of stakeholders, but what comes next? Could Brazil's presidency of the G20 this year be an opportunity for concrete development in the Cerrado preservation?
What we want as next steps is to all the companies, businesses, institutions that could have a relationship with the Cerrado. If you are a trader, if you are a banker, a bank that is providing credit to the industries that operate in Cerrado, if you are a philanthropic institution that didn't pay attention for the Cerrado, and also the international community, to really start to pay attention to the Cerrado because of its importance for food, energy, and water, but also its importance for all the ecosystems, services, and biodiversity that these biome hosts. So what I expect is to put the Cerrado in the center of the discussions and bring attention for decision makers that could adjust their strategies to create indeed a produce and protect vision for the next years for the Cerrado.
Felipe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you, Gustavo.
If you like Explaining Brazil, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It takes only a second and it will help us reach a wider audience. Or better yet, you can subscribe to the Brazilian Report the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We have a subscription-based business model, and your memberships fuel our journalism. Thanks to our subscribers, we have been able to cover Brazil and Latin America extensively, and our work has won and been shortlisted for several international journalism awards. In 2023, for instance, our newsletters, which are our flagship product, won the Best Newsletter Prize in the Americas from the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers for a small or local newsroom. And in order to keep doing that work, we need your support. Go to brazilian.report/subscribe. I'm Gustavo Ribeiro. Thanks for listening. And Explaining Brazil will be back next week.